Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along.
Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. And this is a special edition interview with Alex Flores, who is a recent 100-miler from last fall. He ran the Javelina 100 in Arizona. He hails out of Goodyear, Arizona, and this is a much overdue interview with Alex. I've been emailing back and forth with him for several months since I've learned that he listened to the podcast, and then he attempted his first, I guess at this point, his only 100-miler, and so we're going to talk about that this evening and get into some of the nitty-gritty about, in reference to 100-milers, what kind of stuff he experienced. He has a really, really good race report, which I will reference some in the show. And so, Alex, I appreciate you, taking the time to be on the show, and welcome to the podcast. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I really do... Really do appreciate your time coming on the show. As you know, you've listened to the show. I don't do too many interviews because it's kind of time consuming, and you got to kind of be in the right frame of mind to talk to somebody about the race. And I'm glad that you and I agreed upon this time where we could get the thing to work to produce the show. And I'm just excited to ask you about your 100 miler. So, some of the basic things I wanted to ask you, and so some of the listeners can kind of get an idea of what kind of runner. Obviously, you're an ultra runner, but obviously you didn't start that way. How did you get into running ultras, and how did you kind of progress, if you could share that?
I started running about 4 years ago. I had run in high school cross country, and so it had been about 11 years. And I had actually read the book Born to Run, and just was immediately inspired by ultra running and had the dream of running a 100-mile race. But I started off, I actually jumped from a half marathon to a 50K. And in 3 years, I've done 10 50Ks, one 40-miler, and then a 100-miler. And I've actually only done 3 road marathons.
Oh, wow. So you're definitely more of an ultra runner. Which 40-miler did you do?
It was called Adrenaline Night Run. It was out here in McDowell Mountain, put on by the group Arivipa, who also puts on the Javelina 100.
Okay. So you live in Arizona. You said you lived in Goodyear, Arizona. Is that a big running area? Are there running clubs?
I think most of the running stuff is in Phoenix and in Scottsdale area. But I'm about maybe 15 minutes southwest of the Phoenix area. But, yeah, ultra running, it just seems like it's bursting at the seams here. There's, almost an ultra once a month here now, and I just see so many more people getting involved in it. It's, again, really contagious.
Yeah, why did you pick the Javelina 100? What was the, I think that's a loop course, what was the attraction on that, and was it cost or just location?
Location, It's only about an hour and 10-minute drive for me. I've heard so many good things about the race and heard it was a good first-time 100-mile race. But honestly, at the time, I'd always dreamed of doing a 100-mile run. But I was actually training for a 50-miler at the time, and my father-in-law passed away. And I was kind of grieving, and I was taking it kind of hard, and I kind of picked the race kind of a way to focus and to grieve. But I think eventually I would have done that race because I'd always said that it was going to be my first 100-miler. Because I liked the idea that it was close to home, six 15.3-mile loops, and you get to see your crew every, six times during the race. And I just liked the idea and everything I've heard about the race.
So that one, you can't beat having an ultra that close to your house. It's almost like, that should be your, it's almost your hometown. Your hometown 100, huh?
Yes.
So you train in the same area where you live, and I guess you're heat trained. It's pretty hot in Arizona. I'm kind of ignorant to what the weather's like in the winter in Arizona. Is it kind of hot year-round?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't seem like we even had a winter this year. Like, even today, like, it's in the 90s. Like, last year during the summer, I mean, it anywhere from 110 to 120 degree temperatures. So, yeah, I just kind of, you know, muscle through the heat and tolerate it.
All right, well, what I would like to do is we'll get back to that specific race a little bit later in the interview, because I've got your report up here, and I'm going to reference some stuff in there. But I guess on the more philosophical side of ultra running, why did you kind of skip the you said you've only done 3 road marathons and you're attracted more to the ultra runs. I mean, really, doing numerous marathons is a natural progression. There are some people that have gone right on to do a 50K and kind of skip the whole marathon distance. Why are you more interested in the ultra marathon as opposed to a road marathon, which, you know, really is just far enough to run?
Yeah, I think it's the adventure of it, being out on the trail and being out in the wilderness. And I'll be honest, man, the 3 marathons I did, I mean, they seem like they hurt more than after I did a 50K. But I think I heard a good quote when I first started getting into ultras, and I kind of adopted it, that said, for the pure morbid curiosity. And it was a quote by a runner named Jimmy Dean Freeman.
I
just really liked the community, and I just felt like I was embraced to it right away. And like I said, just the adventure of being out in the mountains or on the trail and problem solving, and, you know, feeling like, you know, if you stop here, I mean, you, either way, you've got to move to the next aid station or make it to the finish, because, you know, if you're out in the, you know, the middle of the forest, you got to get back.
That's right. Now, you said earlier, about the 100 miles, you just got focused on that. When did you first make that decision that that's what you were going to do? Was it when you were grieving? They said you had focused on the 50-miler. You know, 100 milers, it's twice that, and it's not like, you know, you're doing a full marathon as opposed to a half. That's a significant undertaking. Why did you decide to do that?
It was about 6 months prior. It was about 6 months prior. I signed up in April, and the race was in October, and I had been training, and I kind of just continued my training on. I was looking up some training programs, and kind of just went from there. I signed up, and I focused everything on doing the 100-miler.
Wow. So you ran the Javelina 100 in 28 hours and some change, right?
Yeah, it was a long run. It kind of turned into a more survival.
Well, if you in reference, maybe not so much in the 100 mile, but in other ultras that you do, how competitive are you? Do you compete against other people, or are you more interested in competing against the clock and yourself? How do you approach a race, an ultra marathon?
Right now, it's more about the clock and myself, and just growing as a runner and trying to hit PRs. You know, I dream of being competitive, but right now I'm satisfied with getting better each run I do.
Right. And do you have, I guess, good family support?
Yes. My wife, man, I can't be thankful enough for her and her support. And some Saturdays, you know, I'm gone, you know, 5 to 6 hours, and I get home and I want to take a shower and kind of just sit on the couch. But she's a great support, and I'm over here blabbing in her ear about all these ultra races I follow and runners I follow. And I'm sure she doesn't know who they are, but, she takes the time to listen to me and hear my crazy stories.
Yeah, no doubt. So the 100 mile you did, the Javelina 100, was started on October 26th of last year. And what time, kind of describe what your, I'm looking at your report here, but share with the listeners a little bit kind of how you felt and what time the race started and, you know, how you got there and some things that are going through your mind as you basically, you know, you're starting, the rest of your life doesn't start till after you finished your 100 mile right now that you're at the starting line.
Yeah, we got there Friday night, and we camped out to have I kind of call it like a tent city. And so I was able to basically get up right out of the tent and basically walk not even a few feet to the starting line. And I started off pretty conservative. I had heard, I read a ton of reports and did a lot of studying on the race. And, you know, everyone said don't start off fast. The race historically has a 51% finisher rate. So, like, you know.
Yeah, I saw that in the results. Yeah, pretty.
But so I started off the race. The first loop, honestly, I think I was overthinking everything, and I was kind of making myself a little more nervous than I should have. By the time I finally relaxed on the second loop, going about, you know, getting out back about 30 miles, it really warmed up that day. And I was I had like a chamois kind of like you kind of use for the car. I kept putting that, and I kept that around my neck. I think the aid stations were spaced out good enough that you could carry one bottle, I think. But I actually carry two, one to drink water and one to douse myself with.
And that's a good idea.
I started off eating gel. I was trying to do the whole lot of gel every 30 minutes. And I was also eating, they had these tortillas with avocado in them. I was eating that and drinking ginger ale. But when we got into the night, my stomach started going south, and the only thing I could really stomach was chicken broth.
So looking through your report, it says the temperature was at 106 degrees. Is that something that you're used to in that part of the country? I mean, and where I live, that would be pretty brutal to run in or to even, you know, hang outside in, but because of the humidity in Virginia. But what's it like in Arizona when you have a temperature like that? Is it dry heat?
Yeah, it's a dry heat. And I think that was just estimated. I think it was actually supposed to be like 100 degrees. And I think that was like the estimated. People were saying that it was about 106 out there. And there was a ton of people cramping, and you could just feel it. It was just sucking, you know, the energy out of me, you know, and everybody. But I think that's pretty typical for summer here, like on an average day.
Okay. Now how long was the loop? It was a loop course. So how many miles was the loop?
So the first six loops are 15.3 miles, and the last loop is 9.1 miles. So I think the race is actually close to 101 miles.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
yeah, a little deceiving.
So tell me about looks like Jackass Junction aid station when you went by there the third time. What happened to the watermelon and orange slices?
Oh man, I was coming out of the aid station and I just began projectile vomiting everywhere. I kind of ducked behind this porter, John. I thought about turning back at the aid station, but I decided I was just going to keep moving. So what I was doing by that time was I was doing a run walk thing.
Yeah.
So I was basically just running until I had a dry heave or throw up. Then I walked until my stomach settled, and I'd run until I had a dry heave. And again, I did that all the way until I got back to the headquarters to start my fourth loop.
And what did you do for crew? You have some family members out there. Was your, was your wife and daughter there the whole time, or did they go elsewhere for a while?
My wife and daughter were there to see me come through the first two times. But my main crew was my good friend Giles, my wife's cousin Brian. They're both ultra runners. And then a guy from my church named David. And I'll be honest, man, I'm very grateful for them. They, basically gave up their weekend for me, and they had everything I needed, from socks to the shoes I changed out of, the change of clothes, had water bottles ready for me, for making sure I was eating, and just their words of encouragement. And it got to the point where, I mean, I had told myself that I wasn't going to leave the course unless I missed the cutoff or was pulled from the course. But on top of that, just not wanting to let them down because of all the work and sacrifice they made for me, you know, really pushed me. I was grateful for them.
Yeah, crews, you can never say enough about your crew. Now, you said they're both ultra runners, Giles and Brian. What have they done 100 milers? So did they know what you were undertaking, or was this something new for them as well?
This was something new for all of us. You know, we've all, you know, in our little, you know, group runs, and when we run, we'd always talk about who's going to do 100, and there was always a joke that I was going to do it first. I'm like, there's no way. And then all of a sudden I was the one. But, you know what? I think, you know, just from being, you know, all of us have doing races and seeing races, I think we all had an idea of what, you know, the suffering could be like. And they really helped me through it. Even to the point where they were, playing tricks with me in the nighttime when they were pacing me. I guess I was asking a lot, if I could sit down and rest. And so they would tell me, yes, you know, so far down the line, we'll let you rest, and I'd forget about it, and they'd keep me moving that way. And even at some of the aid stations during the night, they would tell me we were going to stay for so long, and they would tell me the time was up and it was really like 10 minutes sooner, you know.
Now, in one of your emails, you had mentioned something about your sleepwalking. I think that was your email. Tell me about that.
I think the hardest part, and I've heard this before, was like usually they say between like midnight and like 2 a.m. Well, I was on the course, and I felt like my legs were, swabbling, like as if I was doing like wax on, wax off with my legs. And my buddy Giles, every now and then, I'd feel him like almost with his arm around me, like, come on, buddy, wake up. And so I'd be okay again. And then I just feel my legs like doing wax on, wax off type of motion. And he said I was swerving in and out of a single track. And
wow. Now, this race had a 30-hour cutoff?
Correct.
And how worried about that were you? Did it have hard cutoffs along the course for each loop? Were you following those? And were you ever in any jeopardy?
There are some hard cutoffs. I don't know exactly. I know at one point during the race, Giles had told me that I had to be back by a certain time or I couldn't start my sixth loop. At some point during the night, I had slowed down. And I just remember him looking at me and saying, Alex, we're going to get you through this. And me and Giles actually went out. We made up about an hour of time.
Wow.
I think it had to be with the cooler air in the night and just the adrenaline of thinking we had to meet the cutoff. And,
that's incredible.
Yeah, at one point, I was getting nervous that I might not make it.
Well, it sounds like you were doing some trying to do calculations on the run with time and lap times and.
I kind of left it up to them, but I'll be honest. I kept looking at my watch and I was thinking times, and at that point, I couldn't even calculate like the mile pace that I needed.
Did you blister at all? Did you have any foot problems?
Man, luckily no blisters.
So,
none at all.
Incredible.
I switched socks 3 times and I changed shoes 2x. I started off with some Hokas, and then about mile 40, I switched into some Sauconys.
Wow. Now, looking through your race board, it looks like you met saw the champion out there, Hal Kerner, and JB Ben of Journey Films. Talk about that a little bit with the six pack.
So, at the end of the race, I'm coming back on my, you do 6 laps, and then the last one is about a 9-mile lap, and I'm just coming in, I have maybe about a 1/4 mile to go before the finish, and you actually cross off the single track across the road back onto the single track. Well, there was a car parked there, and Hal Kerner was standing there, and of course, he had been done, I think he finished like in 15 hours or less, but he was there at this car, and my pacer Giles was running across the street, and he called out to my pacer and said, "Hey, come here real quick." And he pulled out a 6-pack out of the car, and he says, "Hey, can you give this to that runner up there?" And he said something like, "Hey, you look like you could use a beer." So my pacer Giles grabbed a beer, and I grabbed a beer, and me and Hal chatted. He asked me if it was my first 100. I said yes. He told me congratulations, and he said you earned it. And I basically ran in that last 1/4 mile. Like, I don't know. I don't know where I got the energy for him, but yeah, man, so I got to meet Howell and grab a beer from him and then, chat a little bit with J.B. Benna, who made the movie about the Western States. Both guys.
Yeah, he was the one that did that movie Unbreakable, right?
Yeah, Unbreakable, correct. And
have you seen it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an incredible movie. So he's a pretty nice guy, Hal.
Oh, both of those guys are, super nice. And, as far as, like, approachable, the funny story is, One of my crew members, David, from my church, never been to an ultra race, not even a runner, but was just heard about what I was doing. He's like, I got to be there. Well, Giles and Brian told me that while back at the headquarters, he made friends with all these people, and he even made friends with Hal Kerner's mom. Was over there chatting with her and talking with her. And so, like, he met more people there than we knew, and we're in the running community.
Wow. Well, most people at ultras are all a little bit off the rocker anyway, so they're going to get along just fine, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Couple other questions here. And these are more of the, some of the standard stuff, but what's the biggest takeaway for you in your life completing a 100-miler? I mean, obviously, it's an incredible undertaking. Your training is just so monumental, such a huge time commitment. But what is different now, now that you've done it? You know, what's different now in your life?
I think I feel more confident in myself. And just it was something I was honestly, like, I wanted, but I was so scared of it. And it just makes me want to set bigger goals, you know, not only in running, but for my kids and for my family. And just knowing that, you know, like you can fight through stuff and you can get through stuff. And it's hard, if you just got to not give up and keep going. But I think, you know, it just gave me more confidence to keep dreaming, you know. I'm looking forward to things.
So here's the big one, the advice. I mean, I'm not always one that seeks unsolicited advice, but I'm going to solicit advice from you. Obviously, at 100-mile or something, I've toyed with in my brain. I mean, I've done 100K, which just about broke me, so I'm not sure how I could go another 38-plus miles. But what advice can you give someone like me or someone else that's listening to this to the podcast who is thinking about, you know, is already an ultra runner, knows how hard just doing a 50K or 50-mile or 100K can be? What advice could you give someone like that? And then I'll ask you about advice that you could give to somebody who's thinking about running their first ultra, since you've done several. So, you know, what advice can you give to somebody who's thinking about running 100, you know, picking a race, picking a crew? What do you think? Expand on that a little bit.
And I'd say honestly, if it's on your mind, and, you know, it's like, say someone feels like you've done a lot of marathons on 100K, I'd say just sign up. Tell people about it so that they hold you accountable and they're asking you about it. I'd say the other thing I think that really helped me was doing some night training runs and running when I was normally asleep and I had, you know, wasn't used to running. I think that really helped me. And I think for me, like, as far as the pacers go, I just kind of mentioned it, and I kind of got a feel with people that were interested. And but the two guys, like Brian and Giles, I've run tons of runs with them, and I trust them. I just, you know, sometimes you spend so much time on a trail with somebody, man, like, you share so much of your life with them, and I feel really close to both those guys. And, like, for David, I mean, just the inspiration he poured into me, not knowing, you know, about ultra running. But, honestly, like I said, as far as signing up, I mean, I think if it's something that's on your mind and your heart, I think go for it. And I, you know.
So what was your longest training run leading up to it?
40 miles.
And was that the race?
It was a race. It was an adrenaline night run put on by the same group that puts on Javelina 100, Air Viper Running.
Okay.
And it took me about 8 hours. I did the 40-miler, and then I participated in another one of their night runs, and only did 4 hours on that one. But I think doing both those runs really, really helped me.
Now, are those, I mean, I'm getting a little off topic here, but are those runs done at night because of people training for longer races that are going to be overnight, or are they just at night because of the heat?
I think a little bit of both. For the heat here in Arizona, and also, the guys that put on the races, they're both ultra runners, and they wanted to share their joy of running. And I think what they did was to expose people that wouldn't normally get to run through the night, because I guess there's some people that, you know, maybe will never sign up for 100, but want to know what it's like to run through the night, and to expose them to that, you know, and running with the headlamp and that, from what I understand.
For an extended period of time, it's one thing to run with a headlamp in the evening, you know, after you go out for your run after the kids are asleep, but it's another thing to do it all night long until the sun comes up.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's up next for you? You say some of your friends already got out there and were knocking out 50Ks the next weekend, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't do that. It took me a long time to recover, but my next run is about, I think, 11 days away. It's the Zane Graham 50-miler to the Payson, Arizona. It goes along the Highland Trail, and I'm pretty excited about this one. Got 10,000 feet of climbing. So.
Oh, my goodness.
For elevation gain, yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, I think I'm ready. It's been one that's been on my radar for a while, and I'm excited. I think I'm going to get out there and, like I said, just enjoy the adventure of it. And that's a point-to-point, and I think this will be my first point-to-point Ultra. So.
Now, those are personally my favorite, if any distance really is. I feel like you cover some ground. So have you crewed for some of your other, there's other folks, Giles and Brian, or are they coming back out to help you out with this next 50?
Brian's gonna pace me, but yeah, I personally I crewed for Brian. He did a race out here called Across the Years. It's
I've heard of those.
24-48 hour race. And so I got to return the favor for him, and then I helped crew for another runner at another 100 miler here. And I think, you know, it's different when you're not running. You know, I think it's kind of neat.
Well, so what else can you think of that you think listeners out there might be interested in hearing about your experience with the 100 mile? I mean, your race report is outstanding. If it's all right with you, I think I'll go ahead and put a link to it in the show notes for this episode, and so people can read that. There's one simply outstanding picture that I have to call your attention to. I guess, did you know you got photobombed by a Port-a-John?
Oh, yeah.
It's the picture where of your shirt, where you're wearing your shirt backwards before you went out for your last loop.
Yeah.
You got the Port-a-John right there in the back. I thought that was really classy.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, Port-a-John, yeah.
It looks like I can see Tent City in the background there. You got some great pictures on the I guess it's your blog, Running Life and Living the Dream. blogspot.com. I'll have a link to this in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. But go ahead.
I don't know. I guess I thought, you know, when I asked to do this interview, I had all these ideas of things I would say, and I'm kind of going blank. But I think for me, it's been, I don't know. I think you have to put in the miles, you have to put in the time, and I think you should have fun with it. I think if you stop having fun, then I think it takes away from the experience, and you feel like it's a job rather than a hobby. I'd say, you know, staying consistent with your training and get time on your feet. I'm not the fastest runner, and so a lot of, you know, I do like to count miles, but I think more so hours. Like I think if you're gonna do your first 50K, I definitely think you should do a couple 4-hour runs. And like for the 100 miler, I didn't do any, besides the 40 miler, I didn't do any runs over anything over 30 miles. And my training weeks were, I think the highest training week I had was a 60 mile training week, but for the most part I was averaging about 50 mile weeks. But I was, I guess, doing other things in between there, like doing cross training, and not so much like riding a bike or anything, but like sit ups, push ups, you know, just working my core also.
Then I presume you work full time as well.
Yes. I guess me and my buddy were joking the other day. We're like, yeah, we're blue collar runners or whatever.
My last question is, what is an otter pop?
Oh, it's like a frozen, what do you call it? It's almost like putting Kool-Aid in, like, I don't know, it's like an ice cream, like a frozen,
an icy.
Like frozen icy, yeah.
Gotcha. So those are good things to have, huh?
Oh, man, it was wonderful. It was so hot out there, and I had looked up and I seen them handing them out. I'm like, oh, I'm getting one.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, I'll tell you, Alex, I appreciate your time. Congratulations on your buckle. And I don't know if you've got another 100 miler on your radar or not, but I certainly wish you the best with your future endeavors. I've got a 24-hour race coming up. That's my big thing for this year. And my goal is not 100 miles. It's obviously just to do another 50 miler and then see what comes after that. But my hat's off to you for taking the challenge and being successful, and then be willing to share the experience. And again, I will link it at ashlanddave.podme.com to Alex's running report from late October of last year. It's outstanding, plus the pictures are very high resolution, and there's just an outstanding picture of the sunrise of Alex running in the desert to give viewer listeners to the show an idea of what it's like. And all right, Alex, thank you so much, and appreciate you taking the time out to be on the show, and I'll talk to you again.
All right, thank you so much. Have a good one.
Okay, thanks, Alex.
And many thanks to Alex for taking the time to be interviewed about his effort in the Javelina 100, which was about 101-mile race in Arizona. So we're going to hit the email bag section of the show, see who checked in this week. We do have some Stand Up and Be Counted people that checked in. If you're a new listener, you don't know what that is. I'm coming up to episode 200, and I'm just kind of doing a listener survey, just kind of trying to get an idea of where people hail from. So if you're interested in standing up and being counted as a listener of the show, just send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I'll put you on the list. I'm not putting together a database of email addresses to market people. I assure you of that, because I hate getting that stuff myself. Heard from Jim. Jim James is he's out of Council Bluffs, Iowa. Got to make sure I got him on the list. I think I had your name down there, Jim. I'll make sure you get on there. Also, heard from Down Under Dave Williams. He's just finished his latest 50-kilometer trail run, which was the Convicts and Winches in Tasmania, Australia, in 6 hours, 45 minutes. He said that was a little slower than he'd hoped, but he loved every minute of it. And Down Under Dave is actually getting ready to come over to the U.S., and he's going to be running the Bryce Canyon 50K in June. He can only train at sea level, which is not really going to be too helpful for running in the mountains in the Bryce Canyon 50K. So if there's anybody else out there doing that race, send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I'll put you in touch with Dave, because he's very interested in talking to somebody who's doing that race. Also heard from, Laurie out of Pittsburgh for Stand Up and Be Counted. Appreciate that very much. And she liked the honeymoon period for running. She got that. Thanks, Laura. Appreciate you checking in. I'll put you down on the list. And I heard from Dirt Dog, and he just got a new podcast episode out, so make sure you check that out over at Dirt Dog's Running Diatribe. And heard from Thomas Mueller. He's got a book out, which I'm going to be doing an interview with him soon. I'm going to do Sandy's interview next week, and then Thomas, I'm going to get in touch with you, and we'll do that interview with you after that. But he had sent me, he was chuckling a little bit about the friction problem I had when I was describing in the last episode, and he sent me a link to a very cheap Band-Aid friction block which he gets at the drugstore. And anyway, Thomas, I appreciate that very much. He just published his first book called Mind Over Diet, and he wanted to see if I would consider him for a guest segment on the show, and I certainly will. Thomas has been listening to the show for quite some time. He's the one that has the Master Competitor blogspot. He just finished 100-miler at Umstead last week, and he's been doing the endurance sports for 31 years, and he thought that he had the credibility, and he does, to finally teach others how to engage the mind to direct, sustain good practice in food and fitness. He's got fresh credentials, and we're going to be talking about that in his interview. So we'll save some of that information for that. So Thomas, I will be in touch with you soon about that, I promise. And he's got his race report up on his blog, which is mastercompetitor.blogspot.com. So Thomas, I'll be getting in touch with you about that. Appreciate that very much. Heard from Chad, and Chad did, he did 100K. Chad, I'm going to save your race report again. I ran out of time this again. I'm really sorry about that. It's just the way it goes sometimes. And I've got some others here from Greg Smith. I'm just gonna have to wait for the next podcast. I've definitely got several more I got to go through here. I did give the money to Scott Menzies, $200, and I decided to do that anonymously after all. Just the way that felt like it was the way to do it. And you know, he might hear through the grapevine who gave him the money. I wasn't looking for any credit, so I just figured that the anonymous is the best way, and he might end up refusing it, and you know, because he's very humble. So I went ahead and gave that to him, and that's for Scott Menzies, who's going to be running the Boston Marathon in place of his wife Meg on April 21st, just a few days from now. He got permission to do that from the race director. So that's what's going on. Okay, we're going to wrap things up here a little quick this week. Coming up in future shows, I'm going to do a show about bandits. There was just a recently a legal settlement here in the Richmond area with the local sporting promotion group called Sports Backers, where a bandit who got paralyzed at one of their mud runs actually sued him, and they settled out of court. And this guy should have never been on the race course to begin with. So I have some thoughts about that. Plus, there was an article in the newspaper about it, which gave me some fodder for the podcast. So anyway, this is Ashland Dave. I'll be back in probably less than two weeks with the next show, episode 196, rapidly approaching episode 200. Again, that's the Stand Up and Be Counted campaign. If you've been listening to the show for a while and you just every time you get home, you forget to email me, do it today. You know, if you're a regular listener to the show, I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to know where you're from, and just give me a sentence or two about what you do. So I'll have an idea of, you know, what you do, and it'd be really cool. AshlandDave@gmail.com. It'd be great to hear from you. All right, well, that's it for this week. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.